Stupid Color Coding. A bad foggy fig written by Marv with a V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. When it seems like the man in the red suit, not Sandra, the other one, is going to be missing Christmas with his family, Frank sets him to defuse the situation and makes sure Mats gets home just in time for Christmas. What are friends for? He should never have joined Frank and gone after a mafia goon turned bomber on Christmas Eve. Of course, he and Frank hadn't known about the change in career paths until they stormed into his hideout and find a pile of wrecked C4 waiting for them. Foggy was going to kill him if he missed Christmas again. Not that Jackie would remember if he wasn't there. He wouldn't, right? God, that was a terrible thought. Frank was right. That was an even more terrible thought. You should be home tucking your kid in every night, right? Not out here getting up to your eyeballs in 50 different kinds of fucked up shit. He told him that 3 months ago. Matt hadn't listened, and now here he was, about to miss Christmas with his son, not to mention his husband. He was going to miss the Nelson Christmas get-together too. The thought of Anna Nelson's disappointment was unbearable, and he sighed. "Can you do this any faster?" he asked impatiently. "You want to take over, Red? Be my guest," Frank replied, handing him the wire cutters. He was giving him a look too. Matt just knew it. "You've got 4 wires. Theoretically speaking, if more than one wire is red and the last digit of the serial number is odd, you cut the last red wire. If the last wire is yellow and there are no red wires, you cut the first wire. If there's only one blue wire, you cut the first wire. Got that? No, fuck any of that up and we're both dead. Any more questions or can I just do it?" His sleeve brushed Matt's arm as he held out his hand for the wire cutters, his point proven, and Matt sighed. "You can do it." He didn't pout when he handed the wire cutters back to Frank. He didn't. He just brooded a little. Foggy would have called it brooding, but he wasn't here, so he didn't get to make that call. Matt sighed and let Frank work on defusing the bomb on his own, since he'd pointed out 3 times in the last hour Matt's senses were no fucking good when it came to knowing which wire to cut. Stupid color coding, he thought resentfully. "Your boy ain't gonna know you weren't there," Frank said quietly. "You know, that's what I told myself last year," Matt admitted, shaking his head. "He's getting older, Frank. One year he will remember. He'll know that I was here and not there." "You don't think I know how that feels?" Frank demanded, starting to sound frustrated himself. "You don't think I hated myself for leaving my family on every fucking tour I did? You don't think my biggest regret, second to failing to keep them safe, is that I was never fucking there? Why do you think I told you to stay home, Red?" Matt sighed. "I'm sorry. I just... don't apologize. I get it," Frank said wearily, returning to focusing on the explosive he'd been confronted with. He just sighed and got to work. He was good at that, saying his piece and then letting it go. Frank rarely stayed angry with him, even when Matt deserved it. He envied him for that. Matt could never let go of his own anger, not since he was a kid. It hadn't gotten any easier with a family and a kid of his own either. There was a click of a wire being severed, and Frank sat back on his heels and announced grimly, "We're done here." "You sure?" Matt muttered uncertainly, straining his ears to hear the dreaded sound of the detonator activating, but there was nothing, only a faint smell of sweat and motor oil. "If I wasn't, we'd be dead already," Frank replied, picking up his gear. "Comforting," Matt muttered, tipping his head back to try to ease some of the tension that had accumulated in his neck in the last few hours. "So are we going to talk about the fact that gangs are waking up to you, leaving bombs for you to find?" He was worried about him, not that he was going to admit that to Frank. Frank would just scoff anyway, and then he'd take on more gangs just to prove that he was perfectly capable on his own. Matt couldn't tell him that he cared, that apart from his husband, Frank was basically his best friend these days, even though they clashed and argued practically from sunup to sundown. He could trust him. Frank was family. "So I can't take these bastards out at close range for a while. Big deal," Frank said with a scoff. "I can take them out from 1,000 feet. Easy. But you can't, and that pisses you off, right?" "No, it doesn't," Matt lied, striving to keep his tone level and failing. Frank laughed and said, "Yeah, it does, and I know why. You like this. You like working with me. But if it's like this, taking bombs apart and lining up shots from 500 or 800 feet, well, you've got nothing to offer me but self-pity and whining." "I don't whine," Matt declared, offended by the suggestion that he did. He descended into sullen, huffy silence, only proving Frank's point. He'd remarked on it earlier with all his usual tact and charm, but if Matt was a moody son of a bitch tonight, it was only because he should have been at home with his husband, sipping eggnog and seeking presents under the tree for Jackie to open in the morning. "Red," Frank said with the air of someone explaining to a 4-year-old that 1 and 1 equal 2. "We've been in this shithole for hours, and the only thing you've done is lasered in on all that ticking and talked about missing your boy nonstop. Am I right, or am I right?" He was, but Matt refused to admit it. "You're a dick," he said instead. "But I ain't wrong," Frank retorted, his tone unbearably smug. "Come on, let's get you home to your boy." Matt's heart leaped at that particular suggestion. Nothing sounded better to him at that moment than going home to Foggy and Jackie. Frank would stay, of course, crushing on their couch like he usually did. That was fine. Jackie had taken Uncle Frank to his little heart quite some time ago, and it was good for Frank to spend some time with the kind of innocence he fought so hard to protect. It reminded him that there was still good in the world, that it wasn't all 50 kinds of fucked up shit, in Frank's words. "Just going to leave all that C4 here?" Matt asked, frowning as Frank got slowly to his feet. "No, I'm going to phone our friendly neighborhood policeman and ruin Mahoney's Christmas instead of mine," Frank said unapologetically as Matt struggled not to laugh. "Well, that's not very charitable, Frank," he felt compelled to point out. "Do I look like I give a shit?" Frank asked with an impatient little huff that made Matt grin. "Couldn't tell you," he said lightly. Frank just laughed. "Come on, Red. Let's go home." They left the C4 sitting there, diffused and practically gift-wrapped for the police, an early present that Red absolutely would not thank them for, and made their way to the maze of streets that comprised Hell's Kitchen, to very familiar and very loved heartbeats guiding Matt home like a beacon. He and Frank got back to the apartment and just descended the stairs that led to the roof when Fraggy's alarm beeped. There was a scramble to change out of a certain red suit and white skulled Punisher vest. Matt lost the whispered argument and the bathroom to Frank and wound up changing in his and Foggy's bedroom. It worked out fine that way anyway. He was just in time for Christmas morning with Jackie. He received a morning kiss from a sleepy Foggy while Frank got a halfway hug from a very excitable 3-year-old and started on breakfast, the most important meal of the day, and Uncle Frank's specialty. It was perfect.